You're listening to SBS News.
June the 25th, 1950. 75,000 soldiers from the North Korean People's Army poured across the 38th parallel, the border between North and South Korea.
On Sunday, June 25th, Communist forces attacked the Republic of Korea. This attack has made it clear beyond all doubt that the international communist movement is willing to use armed invasion to conquer independent nations.
The voice of President Harry S. Truman telling the American people what had happened. The 38th parallel had been put in place by US planners following the Potsdam Conference at the end of the Second World War as a temporary measure. The invasion was the first military action of the Cold War between the West and the Communist bloc, as the Soviet-backed Democratic People's Republic of Korea to the north took on the pro-Western Republic of Korea to the south. As far as President Truman was concerned, he felt the West needed to take a stand against the forces of international communism.
The communist invasion was launched in great force, with planes, tanks, and artillery. The size of the attack and the speed with which it was followed up make it perfectly plain that it had been plotted long in advance. 52 of the 59 countries which are members of the United Nations have given their support to the action taken by the Security Council to restore peace in Korea.
The United States General Douglas MacArthur led a UN force north of the border to try to occupy North Korea. China entered the conflict at this stage as the UN forces moved north, with then-leader Mao Zedong saying they had to protect themselves from armed aggression against Chinese territory. The last thing the West wanted was a war with China, which could have led to Soviet aggression in Europe and possible nuclear escalation. The result was a stalemate, which lasted for 2 years while fighting continued along the 38th parallel. Australia was one of the first countries to join the Western force, just a few days after the initial invasion. So Jung Park is the director of the Korean Cultural Centre in Australia.
Australia was one of the first countries to come to Korea during the Korean War to participate in the war. Australia dispatched over 17,000 troops to the Korean War, of which 340 were killed.
Pathé newsreel footage described events for the audiences back home.
Commanding officer of 77th Squadron is quiet, efficient Wing Commander Lou Spence, DFC. Each morning he says so long to his wife and children, and like millions of civilians, leaves for the office, which happens to be the Korean front line. When he says he's had a hard day at the office, his wife believes him. Mass bombing has proved expensive and not very effective against the enemy's guerrilla tactics, but this dropping method throws him into confusion, weakens his troops' morale.
As the fighting dragged on, both sides were willing to accept a ceasefire that maintained a 38th parallel boundary. However, they couldn't agree on whether prisoners of war should be forcibly repatriated. The Chinese and the North Koreans wanted them back, but the United States said if they wished to stay in the West, they could. It took 2 years of negotiations, during which the fighting dragged on, but the two sides finally signed an armistice on July the 27th, 1953.
Pathé News cameramen record the last vital moments of the Korean War as a convoy of army vehicles brings United Nations officers to the truce site at Panmunjom for the signing of the armistice. Within the camp stands a communist-built peace pagoda, the actual place where the truce is to be signed.
The newsreel commentator describes a scene which was a foretaste of the relationship between the West and North Korea for decades to come.
Within the truce building, the delegates watch Nam Il walk to the table, placed at some distance from his opposite number. From the other side, General Harrison enters, but neither of the two leading negotiators make any sign of greeting.
The agreement allowed the prisoners of war to stay where they wanted and gave South Korea an extra 3,900 square kilometres of territory at the border. It also created the famous DMZ, or Demilitarized Zone, at the border, which still exists today. And although the armistice was signed, the war has never officially ended. And yet it is the conflict that is the least remembered, even though as of December 2019, there are still about 2,500 Korean War veterans alive in Australia. To mark the sacrifices of the thousands of Australians who served in the conflict, the Consulate Generals of the Republic of Korea in Sydney and Melbourne are running initiatives to convey gratitude on behalf of their country. So Jung Park again.
I hope the Korean and Australian people remember the spirit of sacrifice shown by Australian veterans of the Korean War, so we prepared this event to honour them.
Korean War veteran Rear Admiral Ian Crawford told SBS Korean this country should be proud of the actions taken by Australians during the Korean War.
The important message for future generations is always show that we're ready to go. And the Korean War proved that with the fighting ability, especially the army, I would say that, the endurance, the leadership, and the military skills of our people were demonstrated and a source of great pride to all Australians.
And he says while Australians may have difficulty remembering the Korean War, in South Korea, Australian soldiers are far from forgotten and their legacy lives on.
Australians would say, what was the Korean War? The Koreans say, thank you for what you did. So it's a dynamic, progressive, exciting society and an appreciative society. And they share a lot of our ways of doing things.
The Korean War was relatively short, but the loss of life was exceptional. Nearly 5 million people died, and more than half of them were civilians. Alan Lee, SBS News.